Welcome to another Journey to the Blue Sky. My name is Aaron.
My name is Patricia.
And would you believe it, Patricia, we finally reached the end of the Ice Age saga.
Finally. I can't believe that we finally reached this point.
Yeah. So we are finally here at Ice Age Collision Course. It is the 2016 American computer animated adventure comedy film produced by Blue Sky Studios and distributed by 20th Century Fox. It is the sequel to Ice Age Continental Drift and the fifth installment of the Ice Age film series. So in this one, Peaches is engaged to marry a good-natured man known as Julian, which is kind of weird because wasn't she sort of like linked to like another kind of like animal? You know,
yeah,
the last one.
That is weird. I mean, first we had Lewis, and we thought that maybe she was going to link up with him because he seemed like a really nice guy. But no, I guess they decided to forget about him. Yeah, it would be kind of weird if a mammoth and this little creature were to get together. We don't want to have an interspecies relationship. So yeah, let's just scrap him and let's have her actually fall in love with another mammoth.
Well, actually, Patricia, I've actually got a really better explanation. Do you know what that is?
What's that?
They didn't care.
Sure, let's
anyway,
put it that way.
Moving on, so as Julian is only incapable of possessing Peaches, the concern escalates when Peaches reveals that they wish to travel and explore the world in their honeymoon, which both Manny and Ellie oppose. Diego and Shira want to have children, but fear that they won't make any friends, as other kids are afraid of saber-toothed tigers. And I mean, I don't see why that would be a problem already, but apparently that needs to be added in. Sid is about to propose a marriage to his girlfriend Francine, who I believe is actually known as Cindy, as you know, in the original like draft of Ice Age, which
yeah.
Now she finally makes her appearance like in the very last Ice Age movie. So it took until now to finally put her in there.
Yeah,
so.
Except that it's a complete opposite, whereas, you know, Cindy was like the really clingy one who didn't want to let Sid go. But then when he decided, oh, yeah, let's just say, no, it's Sid who's the one who's the really clingy one who doesn't want to let Cindy or Francine go. But then he just decides, you know, she decides to leave Sid because, oh, they only just met on like that one date. And then 14 minutes later, he wants to propose to her.
Oh, what a shame, you, because Sid's been such a great character in this whole thing. Yeah, if you gotta make Sid any worse, here we go, clingy boyfriend. Yeah, okay, so there's that. And then during Manny and Ellie's wedding anniversary party, asteroids start falling from the sky. And by the way, they put in this whole thing of like, Manny's forgotten the wedding anniversary. What's he gonna do? Yeah, you know, that's a cliche.
Hey, we need to prepare for the thing. What's the thing? Oh, you should know what the thing is. It just so happens to be a special day where you and your wife got married, and you are a complete jerk for completely forgetting about it. And then it makes it even more awkward when your wife throws this elaborate party and invites everybody in the forest to come on by to celebrate.
Yeah, and the only thing I'm really happy is that basically it only like took place in the first act and didn't go any further from that.
Yeah, it's true. It could have like permeated throughout the entire story, but no, we have to deal with a whole different story.
Didn't you get that impression though? Like, you know, that, oh no, this is going to be like, you know, the latest tension in like, you know, the Manny Ellie relationship. Like, you know, Manny's now forgetting anniversaries, and you know, obviously they were going to do go on that whole thing. And
yeah,
you
remember
thought
that
was going to be
episode
that.
Of Yeah, you remember that episode of Rocko's Modern Life where Mrs. Bighead was feeling unappreciated because Mr. Bighead was not giving her attention and love, and so she decides to do it on Rocko instead. I was thinking along the lines of, okay, now we've finally reached this point. In the second movie, they met, they fell in love. In the third movie, they had the baby. In the fourth movie, you know, they were raising a teenager, and then they got separated, and now they appreciate their relationship. And now in this fifth movie, he's being forgetful, and she's not feeling appreciated. And now that, you know, they're going to be going through empty nest syndrome because their only daughter is going to be married to this guy. And then we have to have another cliche added into it. Manny doesn't like his daughter's fiance.
Yeah, of course he doesn't. Like, he barely likes any new character that enters the scene.
Very true.
So, but sometimes for good reason. And, you know, but I don't know. It's just, it's like, yeah, there's a lot of cliches in this whole story.
And of course, we need to have this whole major plot in the story involving with the characters possibly dying again.
Yeah.
First, we had the Ice Age. Then we had the Flood. Then we had the going into the center of the Earth with dinosaurs. Then we had the massive shifting of Pangaea. And now we have an asteroid. So, yeah, there we go. We have disasters that you would expect to see in any prehistoric story.
Yeah. And by the way, everybody, Buck comes back.
Yeah.
And, but unfortunately, it is not the fact that, you know, he is this, you know, crazy, you know, adventurer and everything like that. No, he's also a lunatic who basically suffers from multiple personality syndrome.
Yep.
Yeah, that, like, the, also, how could you ruin Buck? I'm sorry, like, you know, how could you ruin Buck?
I don't understand, like something like a storyline involving with the asteroid crashing. You would think that maybe like he would be coming in and he would be like trying to be like the rambunctious crazy hero like he was in the third movie and try to, you know, save everybody from panicking. Or, you know, maybe like I know it this already happened in the second and the fourth movie, but maybe he would have like led them down into the center of the Earth, or maybe like come up with a really fun plan of trying to stop the asteroid. I don't know how. I mean, I know that he's like this weasel, but he could have created something fun. But no, multiple personality disorder where he's just like talking to himself and he's just acting erratic.
It's almost like they tried to make him like the genie from Aladdin in a way. Like, you know, like, oh, hey, here's these multiple personalities that he does. Like, they try to, like, do, like, they want to, like, sprinkle in, like, hey, Simon Pegg, you do a little bit of Robin Williams for us? It's like, you know, it's just, but just not as as expressive and just, you know, just unfunny.
Mm.
Okay, it's just, it's, yeah, like, I did not laugh at Buck the entire time that he was on screen.
That is a disappointment, considering that we loved Buck in the third movie, and we were hoping that he was going to make us laugh in this movie, and no, it just made us want to just cry.
Yeah, just, and I like Simon Pegg as well. You know, like, he's one of my favorite actors. Mm-hmm. He really is. And to know that basically they gave him fairly little to, well, they gave him a lot to do, but then did nothing funny with it. It's just so sad.
Yeah, and then we have to throw in villains into this movie because, sure, like, oh, an asteroid about to crash into the Earth is not tension enough. We need to throw in these egg eaters, which, by the way, you remember when I made that comparison to, like, the Land Before Time movies when I was, you know, comparing the situation with Ducky and Spike over to what maybe Ellie's is? Well, apparently we have to do that with the villains because they're very similar to Land Before Time 2, where you have a whole bunch of egg eaters who want to be able to just go over to different families, steal eggs, and then we have one of them who doesn't want to be an egg eater, and the other ones are saying, no, we have to because this is who we are. This is our species. And then we have to also include in the scene where the main characters try to stop them from eating the eggs. So yeah, and I thought that Captain Gut was bad. I mean, sure, he was like a generic pirate, but he didn't like feel derivative from like other dinosaur movies that we've seen before. But no, in this installment, they're very similar to the dinosaurs from Land Before Time 2, a direct-to-video movie that came out over like 20 years ago.
Yeah, and by the way, like these villains were not needed because we already had what I believe could have been a good villain. You know who that was?
What's that?
The Shangri-Lama.
Yeah, there you go. The Shangri-Lama. Oh
Yeah,
boy. Like, where do we start with him?
I mean, like, well, I mean, here's the thing, like, you know, so he's basically the leader of, like, you know, quote unquote, Geotopia. So basically, so anyway, we're getting ahead of ourselves. So basically, what it is these asteroids apparently that are coming down are effectively like, you know, electromagnets. So like, they all like cling to one another. So the idea is, in order to get the asteroid to like, you know, move away from the Earth, they're going to launch the giant Geotopia into the sky and then get it to basically use its magnetism to basically move away from the Earth. Which I mean, I get that it's a cartoon, but I guarantee you, most astrologists will probably, you know, not tell you that that is not going to be, you know, that is just not possible from where they are, effectively. Like, this is less plausible than Armageddon. It really is.
And Armageddon is about getting a whole bunch of drillers up into an asteroid, drilling a massive hole, putting a bomb in there, and having it explode right before it hits the Earth. It is that levels of ridiculousness.
It is, yeah. And
Yeah, and I thought
less
that
Bruce
in.
Willis, unfortunately, as well. So.
And it's not as like obscene as compared to like Land Before Time 10, where the whole point of that movie was the long necks are going on a long migration because they feel like they're destined to stop a, get this, a solar eclipse, which they think is the sun crashing into the Earth, and they have to be able to hold it with their heads so that it can be able to prevent it from destroying the Earth, and so things can get back to normal.
Yeah. Anyway, the argument I was making before about the villains, like, again, these villains were not necessary because we already had, in my opinion, they should have made Shangri-Lama the villain. And he could, the way that they should have gone about this is that, so with these generic villains that they had, which, by the way, actually, to be fair to, I mean, we get ahead of ourselves in that regard. To be fair to the generic villains, is that at least they don't stay villains, at least they try and help out at the end. At
Yeah,
least, you know, in
they
regards to
do.
that. But the one thing I would say is that, again, even though, you know, they had this kind of like, you know, changeover in the evolution of their character, I still feel like they were unnecessary. What should have probably happened is that Shangri-Lama should have been like the one who said, "Oh no, the asteroid isn't falling from the sky, and we're all going to be fine." And like everybody within Geotopia is just going to be convinced that, oh yeah, everything's going to be okay. And they don't have to do anything. And it's up to the whole gang to try and convince everybody, oh, hey, you've got to stop all of this from happening. And so in a way, like, you know, have this whole commentary about, like, you know, with these, like, you know, believing in things that, that's is affecting like this whole society, like this whole group think that think, oh yeah, there's nothing going on, when in actual fact there's like a giant asteroid that's like hit everybody and about to kill everyone and stuff. And like, so, you know, it's about like, you know, denying reality effectively and all of that. And like, you know, cult thing, you know, they could have easily done that effectively with
An
that, and it would have
interesting
been,
social commentary on cults.
exactly, you know. And the fact that they, you know, they were going to end up like, you know, causing death right across the whole planet
Yeah,
thereabout.
maybe they could have made the argument about that, having an asteroid coming in is a good thing because the asteroids is what kept them alive in the first place. They're actually using one of the asteroids that fell down a long time ago, which may be or may not be the asteroid that killed the original dinosaurs. I don't know. But yeah, they're using the essence of that asteroid so that they can be able to stay immortal. I don't know how that works, to be quite
Yeah.
honest.
Like, here's the thing, like, you know, here's how the story should have been laid out. And indulge me if you will, Patricia. There should have been like all the drama at the beginning. I would have accepted all of that because, you know, Ice Age. But what should have happened is Buck should have like discovered that, like, you know, there was this whole like little temple that said, oh hey, this asteroid fell from the sky before and it's going to happen again. Then, but the way that we're going to learn about more about it is if we go to the last asteroid that fell, they go to Geotopia and they meet the Shangri-Lama. They warn them that, oh wait, there's this whole, we've got evidence to suggest that there's another asteroid coming and you all need to do something about it. Shangri-Lama says, oh no, that's ridiculous. The last asteroid came down, and look how happy we all are, because obviously it's like this whole utopia that's all beautiful. They're all staying young, things like that. All great things happening within this asteroid. So we have no reason to believe that, you know, we need to use the other asteroid to stop the other asteroid from falling down. And then obviously then the second and third act should have wrapped around all of that, in my opinion. And then you could have like sprinkled in the, you know, the arcs of like, you know, Manny and Ellie worrying about empty nesting, and you know, Julian taking you know, the daughter away and stuff like that. Like, and then you could have like all the shenanigans with like, you know, Sid and you know, Brooke, and then you could have like Crash and Eddie just being stupid, and then you had Buck, you know, but not being crazy, but kind of like doing like, you know, what he normally did in like in the first time that we met him. You know, like, you know, being adventurous. Or even being frustrated because he's been told to not do anything, and yet he says he's having to warn everybody about what's going on. And he could be going crazy through that. That would have made more sense. It makes me feel like they've concentrated too much on the story, and they've moved away from the original premise, and like they've ended up kind of ruining it in a way.
Yeah, the classic, you know, too many things happening with not enough focus syndrome. Our favorite.
How many writers were in this movie?
Oh, that's a great question. So apparently, according to what I'm looking online, so there were three screenplay writers and one story writer.
Yeah, so like, I mean, also keep in mind, Space Jam also had like, you know, how many writers did they have? Like five or six or something like that.
That sounds
like,
about right.
Yeah, and then it ended up being a mess. Like, it's a classic case of too many cooks, but you know, ruin the stew.
Yeah, and don't even get us started about the Flintstones movie where they had like over 35 writers.
Oh yeah, and which one was that? Oh, the Flintstones movie, the first one or the second one?
The first one.
Oh, the first. Oh yeah. Well, you can definitely tell the first one suffered from all sorts of problems.
Yeah.
So yeah.
But yeah, that just goes to show you that, you know, you can't just have all of these things going on and a lot of important things going on and then just like push it to the side to focus on something else when in reality, all of this stuff sounds like it could be its own movie. I mean, we've been saying this how many times throughout this retrospective?
Yeah, like it. I mean, the stories in these Ice Age sequels. I mean, I guarantee you, I could probably go back to the Ice Age saga and rewrite the whole thing, and make every single character credible and have them have their own story, and then have everything like that. Like, you know, Sid should have had his own story arc where basically he ends up in this cult full of like people who are accepting of him, but then realize that he was going to be sacrificed. That could have been his story. You know, Manny's story could have been like, you know, coming back from losing his family and then finally getting another family, and then you know, going through like, you know, the emotions of all of that and worrying about losing them again because he lost his first family. That could have been his story. Diego's story could have been like, you know, oh, he's been away from his pack and he's trying to be accepting, and then he finds She-Ra, who also goes through the same thing, and they kind of work each other away from, like, you know, their problems. That could have been their story. Like, you know, it's just, there's so many stories that could have been had there, and they've just been told really poorly throughout this whole Ice Age series.
Yeah, they have been. I mean, the only consistent one that's been sort of good throughout this entire series has been Manny's story, because it actually felt like an actual arc. You know, yeah. Manny was a loner in the first movie. He fell in love in the second movie. He has a child in the third movie. He goes through the typical stories about being a father in both the fourth and the fifth movie. He's the only one who had, like, actually, you know, something going on in terms of a full arc. Diego's not really, Sid even less so. And all the other characters are just added in because we need to be able to keep the series fresh by adding in a whole bunch of new characters. But at this point in time, I feel like there's just too many characters added in that just kind of crowds the whole thing. Whereas in the first movie, it was simple. It was three guys and a baby. And they have this journey of trying to find the human so that they can be able to deliver the baby right before they go off too far. It was a simple story, yes, but it worked. Here, it just feels too bloated.
Oh, by the way, Scrat's completely wasted in this movie.
Oh, God. This is the worst I've seen of Scrat in this entire franchise because it is ridiculous. In the first 2 minutes of this movie, I was just shocked when he put down the acorn like you would just in every other Ice Age movie to try to crack it up. And instead of like splitting open, it activates a spaceship where he goes up into space. And then he realigns the entire solar system, and he's the one who causes the asteroid to fall down into the Earth. Like, what?
Yeah, it's just, it's, I mean, he could have easily just had his own short at the beginning of the movie, and then we could have got along with the rest of, like, it should have been a Pixar short. Effectively, like, you know, Scrat finds a spaceship, he ends up in space, he ends up like doing loads of shenanigans on the spaceship, and then after that he lands back on Earth, and then after that just begin the Ice Age movie.
Oh, God.
That's all it needed to be. And to me, like, the whole fact that Scrat was basically comically involved in, like, you know, it really does take away from, like, you know, the seriousness of the situation, doesn't it?
It does. Like, I'm sorry. We've been comparing Scrat's tale to Looney Tunes, but now it's just like full on Looney Tunes. Like, you can't take this seriously because he's no longer a part of the story. Like, he never interacts with any of the characters throughout this entire movie. He's up in space trying to capture his acorn like he always does, and he's dealing with a whole bunch of things that you would expect from space. Like, he loses the acorn in the middle of the atmosphere, and he turns on the gravity, and he's being crushed by it. Just like all the typical things that you would expect. So essentially, when in the fourth movie, he created Pangea. In the fifth movie, he aligned the solar system. Skrat has essentially become the god of the Ice Age franchise, which is ridiculous.
We'd like to tell you more about what's going on here, but I've got to be honest with you guys. Like, you know, there's not much to tell. Like, it's a typical Ice Age sequel, which basically has, you know, nothing really added on to it. And then, I mean, like, they have, like, the whole wedding at the end, you know, with Julian and, you know, even, you know, and Ellie and everything. And, you know,
no,
like...
Peaches.
Peaches, sorry. And, you know, that's how much attention I was paying towards the end of it. Like, you know, I was just relieved I finally got to the end of it.
Yeah, and then we don't have to watch any more Ice Age movies. Even though that it's kind of ironic, considering that... shortly after this movie came out, Chris Wedge had said in an interview that he wanted to do one more Ice Age movie where it was essentially...
No, stop.
It was going to be one more Ice Age movie that it was going to go back to basics, where they were going to reunite with the baby one last time, but as a full-grown adult, and they were going to be going on one last adventure together.
What sense would that make?
And he said he wanted to go full circle toward the ending because, you know, he felt like he had wanted to see more of what he experienced watching from the first movie, where, you know, it was about, you know, these three guys and they, you know, they rescued this baby. And now, you know, people were like wondering, you know, where's the baby been all this time? We want to be able to see the baby all grown up. And,
you know,
he was going to do that.
That's what we said about Boo in Monsters, Inc. And, you know, we'll never know the answer.
Yeah. And in this case, we'll never know the answer either, because this would be the last Ice Age movie ever. Oh, except for one other, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah, I think, but for the meantime, I just have to say that, you know, this movie just makes me feel like I'm glad that it's all over.
Me too. You know, at this point in time where we were watching every single Ice Age movie, I mean, sure, the second and the third movie, we were like, you know, I'm starting to feel like it's starting to lose what made the first movie so great. The fourth movie kind of picked itself a little bit better, but it still felt derivative from the previous movies. And then the fifth one just basically ruined it. Like, I knew from the very get-go on why people were complaining so much about the Ice Age franchise ending. And at this point in time, this is when Ice Age was seen as like a terrible franchise. It even ruined the reputation of the first movie. And this is at the point in time in which animation fans did not take Blue Sky Studios seriously. And to be quite honest, around this time in 2016, I don't blame them. There were so many amazing movies that came out around that time period that just overshadowed everything. Like, Zootopia came out in 2016. Your Name came out in 2016. Kubo and the Two Strings came out in 2016. So yeah, there were so many amazing movies that came out in 2016 that just left it in the dust. And as I mentioned, you know, a few times, in which like these Ice Age movies would be like in like number one or number, you know, like the top five of the highest grossing selling animated films of its time, this one didn't do so much. It only made about $400 million, which was literally like half the amount of money that both the third and the fourth movie make. So I can see why a lot of people just were like done with this franchise, and the critics were not very kind to it either. They said it was unfunny. They said it felt derivative. They didn't really take it too seriously compared to what other studios at the time were doing. So yeah, the writing was on the wall that Ice Age was done.
Yeah, and thank goodness it was done.
Like, I agree.
You know, what's disappointing about Ice Age is that, you know, I hate seeing movies where there are good ideas there, but for whatever reason, they just don't want to realize them, or they park them to one side, or it's just a funny segment. Like, you know, like, I've got to be honest with everybody, like, the Ice Age franchise, I think, is probably one of the most frustrating, you know, film series that I've probably watched. You know, like, don't get me wrong, I like the first one, and I you know, there was something there, but then as we started kind of going along, I felt like, you know, there were ideas that could easily have, like, you know, really been, if it was, like, you know, properly written. And who knows, maybe I might do a video one day where, like, I say, okay, this is how I would do Ice Age. And I feel like if they concentrated more on the good ideas and left out the bad ideas, we probably could be seeing a lot more kinder with Ice Age,
I
to be honest with
agree.
you. Yeah.
I think if they focus more on the story and on, you know, proper character development, I think that we could have had like a major franchise here. I think that Ice Age would still even be going on today, but unfortunately, no, it just basically focused too much on the slapstick and the humor. And maybe to an extent, like the animation, because I mean, the one thing that I will say about each and every single Ice Age film is that throughout every single installment, they kept looking better and better and better. But the story and the characters are the ones that people are going to be gravitating towards. That's why people fell in love with the first movie, because yes, the animation wasn't on par compared to like what Pixar, DreamWorks, and other studios were doing at the time. But the reason why it's still beloved to this very day is because the characters were great. The storyline, sure, it was simple, but a lot of people really gravitated towards it. And also, it had a lot of serious moments where you can be able to say, hey, this isn't just geared towards kids. You remember when they did serious moments? You remember that scene in which when Nanny was looking at the wall of the drawings and he was reflecting on what his childhood was, where his family were killed by hunters, and when he was like comparing what the baby was going through, and also the seriousness of Lesotho wanting to tell Diego to grab the baby and kill him, but then he himself goes through a lot of turmoil about whether he should do it or not. I miss that in the Ice Age movies. They completely removed every single serious moment or sad moment and then just focus on the humor. Oh man, that's such a disappointment.
What else can we say, guys? Like, you know, it's just, it's, I mean, the only other thing I would say is that, you know, compare this to the Toy Story series and the Shrek series. I mean, out of all the three, I think Ice Age probably comes out the worst. I mean,
Yeah, even you want to know even something? I mean, there's also like the Kung Fu Panda series and the Madagascar series, which also had three installments. Those ended up better than
well, no,
this.
I mean, Ice Age had five installments. I mean, Kung Fu Panda's only had three installments so far. We are going to get the fourth movie, but I mean, the way that they're making out at the minute, I think it's going to end up being a Creed situation where, like, you know, they'll start before and then concentrate on another Dragon Warrior from the looks of it. So I
Yeah,
think
I
that's
guess
where
that's
that's
true.
going.
And
Yeah.
again, and as for Madagascar, they did the three movies and then they just focused on the penguins.
Yeah. Who knows? Anyway, I think we better rate this, don't you? So,
If we must.
well, I mean, the only good thing I can really say about it is that this is the end of the Ice Age series. So, I mean, I guess, you know, the animation, I guess, is on par. Unfortunately, we have a story that, I mean, really needed some more work, and the characters, unfortunately, don't really evolve any further than they do. I mean, Manny, as you say before, probably been the only story we've kind of enjoyed out of this entire thing. So, which already isn't saying much for, like, everybody else that's involved in all of this. So, unfortunately, 3.5 out of 10, I think I have to say.
Yeah, I'm gonna say the same thing. 3.5 out of 10. It's such a massive disappointment that the Ice Age films pretty much ended right here, where it just was bloated. It wasn't funny. There wasn't a lot of focus with any of the major characters. Not a lot of story arcs going on, and also the whole Scrat segments were just like too ridiculous for its own good. I know that Scrat was the popular character. I know that everybody loved Scrat shenanigans, but there's a time in which you can go a little bit too far. It jumped it even higher than a shark. It went up into space.
Yeah, it's just,
Anyway,
it's.
but yeah, all I have to say is that I'm just so let down of how Ice Age came to be. It started off really simple with just three guys and a baby, and then it just had like a whole group of people that doesn't get any further development other than just being two-dimensional and a storyline that could have used a lot more work and something that could have like been a serious contender of like a way to finally end it off. I mean, sure, you know, you have like a wedding and, you know, that's also really nice where you get to see Peaches being a, you know, from being a baby to being a teenager, from being a young adult who gets married. I mean, that would have been a great way to end it off, but everything else just lacks in polish and everything. So yeah, I'm just going to say 3.5.
And that is the unfortunate end of the Ice Age series, but we are not at the end of the journey to the Blue Sky, because we have two movies left, I believe.
Yes, we do. We have two movies left from Blue Sky, and there's a few sprinkles of other content here and there. But for now, we're going to be focusing on our next film, which is Ferdinand.
Yeah, which has a, I have to say, a very surprising person who made a transition from wrestling to acting.
Yeah, this will be really interesting.
But until then, bye-bye for now.
See everyone.